हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय वन अधिकरण फोर भक्ति इज सुपीरियर टू ऑल अदर साधनस अनुच्छेद 99। So then the vritti in the next anucheda, the author proceeds to highlight and that carrying out karma without the essence of devotion, bhakti, can be highly challenging, resulting in hardships and suffering. But didn't we just do this? I'm not sure. I kind of thought we did, but resulting in hardships and suffering while bhakti is easily performed. Furthermore, there is an inherent uncertainty in achieving desired outcomes through the karma process, given the possibility of flaws in its execution, right? Because bhakti, even though it may have flaws because of the sincere intent, it still works. Because the point is not the perfection of the activity you're performing, but perfection of the devotion in which it is offered. Because that's what's interesting for Krishna. Because the point is the elements that you're working with, you know, the environment you're working with, the purposes of the various elements and relationship, you know, of each element and its relationship with others, and therefore then its further purposes, then the action that you can perform, the potency of that action to perform it, and then the concomitant result that you would get from that, that's all Krishna's potency anyway. And so how well you follow his rules and also how much is, you know, on the material platform, your karma to get a result. But on the devotional platform, then just how Krishna would like things to work out and Yoga Maya arranges, that'll all happen. So that kind of mechanics are already worked out, are already being taken care of. We just have to take part in it. We're taking it part in it to express our devotion. So in other words, because the expression of the devotion and interaction with Krishna and his devotees is so nice, we're always looking for more and more opportunities for that. So it's not that, okay, well, if it's not about that, I don't have to do anything. No, because you want to express, right? You want to express that affection you have for Krishna, that attraction. So therefore, you will always ongoingly keep on doing that. You just do it over and over again. Right. So that's the position is that because they don't become fatigued, they don't become any of these mundane qualities that here everything gets old. It's there. It's all ever fresh because it's always on the spiritual platform. It's always the soul to the supreme soul. Right. Like that, whether it's jivas, whether it's internal potency. It doesn't matter, or even other Vishnu Tattva in their mood of service following the line like Baladev, his expansion, then they're always serving. And so nothing gets old. Well, on the material platform, things get old. Why do they get old? Because they themselves cannot actually give any satisfaction to the living entity. So that's why they get old. Right? That's the problem, is that the activity itself, since it doesn't actually give any satisfaction for the soul, the soul thinking that this will be good, then is enthusiastic. But the point is the mechanics of what he's doing will not satisfy the soul. He's just projecting that this will be good. You know, like the example of the fish, you take him out of water, you put him on a nice throne. You know, you do all these nice things, then you can think, this will be good. But without air, it doesn't matter how good it is. You know, that's the whole point. So Therefore, it doesn't matter to the soul. So it gets old because, you know, it was a good thing. Yeah, yeah, let's do this. But it doesn't create happiness. You know, we have the assigned definition of happiness that if I can remove the pain for a moment, that's good, rather than it's actually inspiring to the soul. Right? So that's why people go into things that are more intense, because it makes you forget whatever is the difficulty. You know, or go into, you know, intoxication, it makes you forget. That also makes you forget. You know, so that's why all the aspects of the four regular principles, they're to make you forget or distract you from the material existence. Right? That's what they do. But the point is in distracting you from that, they don't engage you in spiritual activities. They simply distract you from the mundane. So their pursuit is that of, you know, so-called happiness, but it's just removing the pain. So it's, again, just liberation. So even underlying, the soul still wants that transcendental position, that spiritual platform. But, you know, going against impious activities won't bring you any closer. They'll always take you away. While pious activities, they'll also distract, but it's progressive because it'll move you forward closer to Krishna, even though your back's to Krishna, right? It's just like Prabhupada mentioned about the Indians. It says they're very close to Krishna, but they have their backs turned to him, right? While the devotees, you know, from the West, they're very far from Krishna, but they're facing Krishna, right? So facing is the main thing, right? But then you have to progress closer to Krishna. Now, if you could get that Hindu Bindu to turn around, then they're very close to Krishna. For them, sadhana, you know, giving in charity and, you know, sleeping less and being clean and pure, all these are easy for them. I mean, literally, they're very easy for them, natural for them. Just like birds, it's natural to fly. It's not that it's an imposition or something like that. You know, they're sitting around talking to other birds when they're, you know, sitting on the telephone wire. What a trip to, you know, fly all the time, you know, flapping your wings. I mean, come on, give me a break. They're not talking like that. It's natural. So that means it's those from that Vedic culture. It's natural. The problem is they have their back turned to Krishna. And anybody else who takes it up, who's not from that background, that they see it seriously, they're facing Krishna. So that's actually a better position. So it's better to be far from Krishna, facing Krishna, then close to Krishna with your back to Krishna. Because what it takes to turn you around, that you can't say, but you're already facing Krishna. It's just a matter of time. The holy name will bring you to Krishna. So that's why it says the Chandala, who's a devotee, is better than the great, you know, the great qualified Brahman who's not a devotee. But we're saying if they turn around, then they'll be very excellent. But since they're not turning around, therefore we as the, you know, hordes of, you know, Malechas and Yavanas, then, you know, we're trying to do something for Krishna until these Brahmins will turn around. Then they can do it, right? And we'll just follow them because they'll be better, right? Okay. So Anucheta 99. In contrast, karma is described without respect. It is uncertain one will attain results from karma. It gives suffering ultimately. And bhakti is also required in its performance. Bhakti is easily performed even during sadhana. Right? So it gives suffering ultimately because ultimately is you're working with the material energy. So being caught up in it, so many more things will come. And there'll always be suffering. And whatever its effect was, it gets less and less with time. You know, like it said that, you know, you do something, the first time was really great, but then you do again, it's also nice, and the third time it's okay, but then after that you're not interested, right? So then it's not nice. Plus, because of performing it, it brings in all the, you know, its accoutrements, what do you call it, accoutrement, and everything that goes along with it, and makes it, how do you say, it just becomes burdensome. You know, you think, I'll get the car. Oh, this is great driving around and all that. But then you have to drive to work, and because you have to go to work. See, when you drive around, you take roads that aren't jammed. But when you go to work, it's always on roads that are jammed. So now it's going to give you trouble. Right? Until, like, Michael Douglas, you snap. Right? Yeah, that was it. The traffic got him. Okay. So, and bhakti is required anyway. So since to do your karma, you have to do bhakti to make it even work. It's just like, you know, it's just that get anything done, you need bhakti. Karma and jnana won't work without bhakti. That's the thing. We're thinking, okay, there's karma, there's jnana, and there's bhakti. So we have three. It's a, you know, it's all up to, you know, what is going on, you know, jato matatapad, any path, you know, anything. It's just a name, you know, the one name is called karma, one jnana, like this, but it's actually just names. It doesn't matter. They all lead to the same place. It's like, right. So me giving you a sandesh and me hitting you upside the head with a cricket bat, it all leads to the same path. So, hey, you know, anchors away here, you know, like that, you know. So, yeah. And bhakti is easily performed even during sadhana, right? So karma is always going to be difficult because unless you do everything perfectly, you won't get the result. But for bhakti, because it's love for Krishna, that won't be impeded. But it's just a matter of, okay, how much you focused, how much you know, how much you practiced, that the mechanical result you're getting may be better or less. Like you're cooking. You don't know so much, so it won't be so technically right. It may not look fabulous, but it doesn't mean it won't taste nice and Krishna won't be pleased. Right? Point is, if Krishna is pleased with it, it will be nice. Devotees will eat and they'll be very happy. And even though it's technically perfect, if it wasn't done with much devotion or no devotion, Krishna is not pleased with it. It's not attractive to him. So the devotees eat it, they won't be satisfied. So the point is that the karma is where the anxiety is. The bhakti is not where the anxiety is. So when we get into no, but you have to be perfect and we need the social prestige and we need this and we have to fit in and all these things, that's all karma. And then much of the time we even reduce the bhakti in it. You know, we have to do this and you have to catch their mood. We have to be professionals, you know, and we have our credentials and all these different things like that. And what do? You take on the mood of the academics or the scientists or the politicians or the professionals. And then where's the bhakti? You know, I mean, sure, it may not be there in that. Of course, devotee will be there when they chant japa and all that because, there's no professional or scientist or politician you can follow their example for that because they're not doing it. You know, unless, of course, you're listening to the Indian bogus gurus or going to Radhakund or, you know, stuff like that. And then, of course, yeah, you can follow their mood and, join them in hell. Yes, in their bucket to hell. So you can do that. But generally speaking, for many, then they will be careful of that. Because it's Indian and we're not, you know, we don't buy the be Indian, buy Indian. You know, we're Westerners and we buy Western, right? Unless the Indian's cheaper and it's acknowledged and acceptable, it's prestigious in the West, then it's okay to buy, right? But make sure you buy it at a very, very cheap rate. You know, you wouldn't want to give those Indian suckers a break, you know, like that. Yeah. So then, that kind of element, then we're not seeing that you're already performing an action. Why not perform it for Krishna in bhakti? The karmic aspect will be taken care of because it's subservient to bhakti. It becomes engaged in the fire of bhakti. And then the quality of it, you know, you do your best now and then you do your best to make it better. So the karma is trying harder because it's going to be, he'll try as hard as up to his standard of what he sees himself materially as. So he will try to dress as nicely as fits his identity, or he will try to endeavor for food that's up to his level of satisfaction, you know, or his house or his car or his social dealings, up to what he himself in his identity as his false ego thinks that, yes, this is me. Beyond that, he won't go, because, you know, why would you go beyond that? Because that would be unimportant, you know, like that. So, you know, it's like you see people that can afford to dress shabbily, you know, and saying, oh, we don't need to dress all this nice, because they can afford to. If they didn't have the money, they'd be dressing very properly, because otherwise they don't get hired and no one keeps them and no one takes them seriously. Like that. So that person wants to move up, wants to fit in, so he does all that. Well, the other guy, his identity is, yeah, I challenge the, you know, the status quo and all that. And then you see he just gets into a rut, does what he does, and after a while, when what he's wearing becomes status quo, then he's still wearing it, right? You know, the guy, he wears a t-shirt and, you know, some whatever it is, and some tennis shoes and all that. And then when everybody's doing that, he's still wearing it, because he doesn't have much. I remember seeing someone that was about prestige. They were, you know, doing things and dressing in very far out ways, you know, nice traditional kind of things. But then because it looked so good and that others saw it and caught on and they started wearing it, immediately the next day he's wearing something different. You know, because he has to dress in a way that's unique. That's what I'm pointing out, is people dress up to their level. That's good for him. So his is the uniqueness. The other one is just looking cool and fitting in. So then they do it. And then when it's not cool and not fitting in, they change it. Well, the guy who he dresses in a particular way, he likes it. It doesn't matter if the fashion changes. He doesn't change. So the point is, karma, it's about yourself. And what is your, you know, what are your standards? In other words, you'll try to come up to what you feel is your standard, and you won't go above and below it unless circumstances dictate. But otherwise, you'll stick to that. Well, in bhakti, you're going to improve the quality of the karmic, you know, it means the activity or the karma, to please Krishna, that Krishna gets a better and better result. It's not for yourself. That way, that's why then the verses say that even a blind man can see stars in the sky, the lame man can cross over mountains, the dumb man can speak eloquent poetry, because it's way beyond their karma. That's why you see is the devotee is functioning at this super high level and sophistication and everything. But the mistake means we'll say, yes, that's them, because that's their achievement in Krishna consciousness. But then if the individual thinks, yes, I am so elevated and so respectable and so sophisticated, and then he decides that, well, but I'm not getting the actual due that I deserve here, so I'm going to step outside the sphere of Krishna consciousness and continue in this same trajectory. No, you see, they go out, bang, they go back to wherever they were the day they walked into the temple. Literally. You know, they can apply a little more sophistication if they've matured, but it's going to be in the same level, because if you work in this realm of karma, it's what you deserve, not what you think you are. You know, so you see, they walk out like this, king of the world, you know, emperor of the world, and next thing they're pumping gasoline, literally. You know, that's how it goes. Because the point is no, it's by devotional service. You can go way beyond your conditioning, because the conditioning doesn't matter. It's a tool to use in Krishna's service. So it's not about that. And Krishna will give according to what he thinks will bring you, you know, what he knows what will bring you closer, and what your mood is, how serious and sincere you are. And so then you can, you know, in this way move forward in that. And, you know, things will develop nicely. That's why then in Anartha Nivritti, we see that the first four stages are just kind of being situated. Are you serious about Krishna consciousness or not? And how serious in that? Right? So it's just this enthusiastic, oh, it's fun, so therefore you're enthusiastic. But then with time, you know, it's not new, so then sometimes you're not fired up, and sometimes then you are, and then sometimes you're not. And then it comes to, well, you know, we could do it this way, and, you know, it gets more serious like that. But then at the same time, as we're, you know, we're engaging our conditioning in Krishna's service, so the conditioning has to be, you know, considered and taken care of. We can't neglect that. We're not fanatic, Prabhu, you know, and all that kind of thing. And that, until you go, no, this is nonsense. You know, I'm going to be Krishna conscious, right? So that's the fourth stage. So once that's there, then you're trying to be always Krishna conscious. And then the fifth stage is you're trying to be Krishna conscious, but it's not necessarily always successful, right? Either in what you're doing or just, you know, I'm getting up at, you know, 2 o'clock. No, I'm getting up at 12:30. I'm going to chant 64 rounds before Mangal Arti, you know, and then after Mangal Arti, chant another 64. And then, you know, I'm only going to, you know, live off the water off of one, you know, kinko, the drop of water off of one kinko leaf, you know, and all that, and all that, you know, like, just like this we do. But then, you know, the alarm doesn't go off. And then when the devotees come back from Mangal Arti and that to eat their mudi, you know, out of the tin, then they notice, hey, you're still asleep. Why are you sleeping? It's what? You know, oh, okay. So these things happen. And so, but then eventually, then you work it out and then you become steady. And then whatever you're doing, you figure out, okay, maybe I won't get in 64 rounds for Mangal Arti, but, you know, I can get up a little earlier and try to do that. And so it's not a rush and that, get into a little chanting and whatever works. And then you start to see then there's stableness or steadiness and all that. Then from that stableness and steadiness, then people recognize, oh, this is great. Oh, he's advanced and this and that. Then there's facilities there. Then one has to get over the, how you say, being attracted by the facilities, you know, by being attracted by, you know, the Dhanam Janam Sundarim, the, you know, people respect, all these different things that come up. And it's just, you know, this is just what comes along with devotional service. So that's not your drive, right? So then sometimes people say, well, how could he so advanced? How could he fall down? That's because of that. So the position they're falling from is the sixth stage of anartha nivriti rather than your first, second, or third stage. So yes, they are more advanced. You know, no question about it. Otherwise, why are they able to function at that? Well, they preach, you know, hundreds of votes. I remember one devotee like that. He had some problems. GBC pulled him up, chastised him and all that, you know, kind of, yeah, like that. And so then he was I guess it was a Sunday program. During the program, then in the class, he's talking about how, you know, his position is, you know, he's having difficulty and this and that and trying to get it together and that. I think 12 people joined that day. They just joined. They just came to the program. They joined thinking, wow, this guy is so sincere and so open and honest. That's, I need that in my life. They joined. So the point is he's on that platform, but he got distracted by, you know, the taranga rangini, the little waves on the ocean of devotion. He's not being attracted by just straight material. He's being attracted by the facilities and all the niceties that come with the devotional process. So it's different. Yes, Panditji.
Maharaj, you just answered my question. My question was, it seems like on the level of nishtha, we have two ways to go. One is taranga rangini, other one is ruchi. So that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. Because you have to get... See, the thing is when Prabhupada's talking about nishtha, that you could say is 75% anartha nivriti is taken care of. Right? So then that's going to be is then, you know, what's the quality of your stableness? Because there's always going to be... Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is pointing out that in each one of these nine, you can take it divided into three. You know, it's like that in anything. It's like, you know, when you have the sandhya, you know, if it's closer to the day, it's more bright. If it's closer to the night, it's more dark. You know, right in the middle, then it's like, you know, it's just got that little bit of reduction of the sun. You know, you have the nice, you know, whatever it is, you know, kind of you know, the sun's partway down, and, you know, it's just very beautiful. But when he goes past that, it gets too dark, and then it's not quite night yet, but it's not yet. So, and in astronomy also, they divided that, it's 30 degrees like this in. So 30 degrees, the first 30 degrees are going to be like the last position of the planet, you know, the last house or the last zodiac sign. The middle is going to be exact. It's going to have its full. And then last 30 degrees are going to have a flavor of the next. You know, it's just like you have breakfast. That's obvious. Lunch is obvious. Brunch, what's that? It's kind of in between breakfast and lunch. You can have a little bit of each of the, so like that. That's how it works, is that, let's say we're saying Anishta. So the first stage of it, it means the middle is the 75%. So the beginning point will be like 60%. So it's still only having that tarang, I mean, that element where, you know, we're doing, you know, good, but not some, not always good, and sometimes better and not like this. So you're going to see it's kind of the same thing as before, is that, you know, they have that steadiness and all that, but they're not necessarily getting the result. Then it comes to that good thing when it's steady. Then they start getting that result. But now they need to, you know, focus on giving up these finer elements. And that will then bring them, they'll start to, when the Surya is there, and that then the taste comes, you know, as you were pointing out. And when the taste comes, then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that that stage, or that at that point, then it's like if you have dry leaves lying on the ground and a storm comes, they're just in a moment gone. You know, thousands of leaves just blown away in a moment like that. So with that taste, the other things, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, there's no interest like that. And so that's been the point, is that you see it goes through because there's an overlap. We're taking, you know, with this, there's an artem nivrita. No, it's the point that it's there, because Shraddha is developing, Sadhu Sangha is developing, your Bhajana Kriya is developing, means the anartha nivriti is developing, right? So even you overcome that there, but then you've overcome, okay, your interest in sense gratification and all that. But you have to also see that you're giving up the desire for liberation, right? Because that can be, you're attached to Krishna, but the Shanta Bhaktas, they like the liberated position. They're comfortable, you know, with the understanding I'm liberated, the taste of I'm liberated. And in this liberated state, I always am absorbed in Krishna. Right? So it's devotional. They're on the pure platform. But at the same time, it's something you need to go beyond. Right? So it's not just that it's great not being conditioned. And by Krishna's grace, I'm absorbed in service with the devotees and all that. Then it goes beyond that. Then you get up to the point where it's just about Krishna. Then it comes to the point of prema. Right? And then at that point, then, you know, you don't have any of these elements. Though you might appreciate working in that environment if you're in majesty. But in sweetness, it's not even a point. You bring it up. Yeah, of course. But, you know, that's not why we do anything. Like Krishna talking with the gopis, they're much of the time talking about Brahman and Paramatma, these features, because in their exchange and rasa, that's all the topmost platform of Bhagavan. So then for conversation, they talk about all these kind of things. Right? Yeah, criticizing how Brahma make eyelids, you know, like that, and, you know, just talking all these different things like that. So it's just ways to exchange. So therefore, the Braja Bhakti is pure unalloyed. So for us, even being liberated isn't good enough. Oh, yeah, he's so advanced, you know, he's so austere and all this and that and that. But that's if that's just natural for him, it means he's always been like that. You see people like that. They come in super simple. They don't need anything fancy, need anything this and that. Today they sleep over here, tomorrow over there. It doesn't matter to them. Like that. So that kind of person, yeah, you know, then he's very simple and this and that, because he's simple. But the other one who's very austere and that, and he's fun like that, then it's a determination, it's things like that. If it's mature, then of course it's going to take on a very nice thing, an exemplary position. But if he identifies with it, then it's an attachment for renunciation, just like some have attachment for karma, some for jnana. But now, the position in moving up the ladder, then the jnana yogi is going to be higher than the karma yogi, because from karma, you get knowledge and detachment, which naturally brings you to the jnana yoga stage. And then from the jnana yoga stage, then you get nicely situated in bhakti. But you're following me, pure bhakti. So in other words, you're following the path of bhakti all along. That's why it's called buddhi yoga. So within buddhi yoga, we may be at the karma yoga stage or the jnana yoga stage. But when we get to the pure devotional stage, we don't have to call it buddhi yoga like that. Though it's still included because, you can't explain all these things and all that. But it's not based on the engagement of these two. You engage whatever is your conditioning anyway, because it's just comfortable, because that's what facility you can do. Right? So it's just natural. You have potatoes, you cook potatoes, that's comfortable. I say, no, I have to cook something else, then I have to get the money, go to get the keys, get the car, go out and drive, and then park, and then get the stuff, and then, do the whole thing coming back, and then, all that. Well, I could have just used the potatoes, because that's what's there. So that's the point. You have a condition and you use it. Why do you have to use beyond it? If Krishna gives you abilities beyond it, then you use that, because that's what's available. But you don't try to do someone else's. That's why Krishna says, why would you waste your time doing someone else's service? We're not talking emergency. We're talking, identity. No, I'm this, I'm that, I can do, we're all this and that and whatever it is. Then it's about the folk, about the external of it. It's not about the bhakti. If we're Westerners, then where's the bhakti? Where's the bhakti? The bhakti is I'm engaging my Western ability in Krishna service. So Prabhupada said, okay, you're Westerners. So if you don't do something big with, opening the temple in Mayapur and the big program and like that, he was saying you should invite, the King of England and the President of America to the opening. Otherwise, then why are you saying we're Westerners? If you're not doing anything special, what's the meaning of saying I'm a Westerner? That's like saying, I'm a Rothschild, but I have no money. What's the point? Or, he's the grandson of Ferrari, but he can't drive and he has no license. Right? Like that. He'd rather make toffee or something. It's like, why bring up his name? He's Ferrari and he's making toffee. It's like that, So that's the point, is that if we're going to say, oh, we're Westerners and we're this and that, then do something substantial with it. Engage it in Krishna's service. It's not, oh, no, just Western. We can't do anything. I'll just stay in my position, like that. But no, it's about use it. Do something with it. You say we're American. American means you do the impossible. And if you're not trying for it, then don't call yourself American. Literally, don't call yourself American. So, yes. So bhakti is easily performed because it's bhakti that goes along, and bhakti has some form and knowledge in which you use. It means the field means it has the knowledge and forms, right? Then the abhideya, then the kriya, then it's going to have applying that knowledge and all that according to your ability to get a specific result. It already has that. And that result is for Krishna's satisfaction. So everything is about the field, how it can be used for Krishna, the activity, how it can be used for Krishna, and that Krishna will be pleased by this endeavor with this field. So it's all together. So it already includes. We get attached to, oh, no, karma can only mean this. No, karma has this. Why? Because it comes from bhakti. Karma is just the actions used in bhakti. Jnana is just the knowledge used in bhakti. Or the platform of existence used in bhakti. And then when it comes here, you remove the bhakti, then you call it karma and you call it jnana. But otherwise, you just call it devotional service. Right? Using everything in Krishna's service. body, mind, and words. So that's what we do. It's the same thing. But we're thinking, no, because we're coming from this field, that this has its own meaning. It has its own status on its own. And then there's this bhakti thing that's, you know, been newly introduced from, you know, across the ocean in India, and we're not Indians. And so it's a foreign thing. So it has nothing to do with our great and wonderful and fabulous position as Americans. God bless America. Yeah. Okay. So then a quote, Acharya quotes from Bhagavatam. You let us, blackened by the smoke at this uncertain sacrifice, drink the intoxicating nectar of the lotus feet of Govinda. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.12. Right? So he said, you let us, that even though we're blackened by smoke at this uncertain sacrifice, the sursa, we don't know if it will give the results that we wanted to do. Basically, they're trying to do something that will make it auspicious so Kali Yuga won't have so much effect and people can be more Krishna conscious. That's their idea. But because it has these mechanical elements, it's, you don't know if it'll go, you know, because it's not necessarily recommended in devotion you do this sacrifice. They're engaging elements within the Vedic system in Krishna service. So it's not like a recommended that you're doing initiation, so you do this yajna for the thing like that. But how successful the yajna will be, you don't know. You may get all the ingredients or not. The fire may burn or not. You know, like that, people may come or not, or they may pay attention or not, or the kid may start yelling and screaming halfway through and everybody cares about him and goes out the door taking care of him. All these things may happen, but the point is you're doing it because it's part of the devotional process of pancharatrik initiation. So the person will get initiated and be connected to Sampradaya no matter how well or not the yajna goes. So we're not dependent upon that. So they're pointing out, if we're doing this yajna, which is uncertain that'll get, and we're blackened by the smoke, means we started the fire, but it made so much smoke that we actually, our faces turned black. That is a lot of smoke. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And because they're sages at Naimisharanya, they are Indians, so then you can't claim that this is blackface, because they, it is their culture, and they do have a little bit more color. You know, there's a more swarthiness than for the other persons. Yes. And so he said that you let us drink the intoxicating nectar of lotus feet of Govinda, despite us, our faces being blackened by the smoke at an uncertain sacrifice. So despite us being doing these aspects of karma, you know, for creating an auspicious environment that the Kali Yuga won't have so much effect. Despite that, you still allowed us to drink the nectar, intoxicating nectar of the lotus feet of Govinda. That's the point. So despite us being, you know, from unqualified backgrounds, from unqualified cultures, you know, and, you know, all these different things, you still allow us to be engaged in Krishna's service and hearing and chanting and glorifying his holy name. So this is very special. That's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the Sankirtan mission. Right? So despite that, is there. And because bhakti will work, even though they are doing this yajna, it's not working out properly, but still, they will get the benefit, the devotional benefit. So it's not that, oh, only if materially everything's perfect, only if we have, you know, perfect media appreciation of our movement and, you know, everybody is doing all those things that would be appreciated by the so-called intellectual or so-called educated or, you know, progressive society. If we do all those, then they'll all think we're so fabulous. Then our mission and our will be successful. No. Our mission is not to impress them with their own, you know, value system, you know, that is impossible to do because it changes every moment. Our point is to make them aware of Krishna consciousness. So if they think we look weird, then they're talking about who are those Hare Krishnas, you know, like that. wearing all these bed sheets, and they're talking, saying Hare Krishna. That's the whole thing. We're not worried about that. So that's not going to make it work. Devotional service, despite our unqualification, still works. And then we try to qualify ourselves to please Krishna. And it's what Krishna defines as qualified. Right? Being a gentleman is what qualified. When was the last time you saw a devotee wearing karmi clothes that looked like a gentleman? Personally, I can't say. The last time I saw someone wearing karmi clothes that looked like a gentleman, both of them were in Australia. One of them I remember seeing back in the, I think in 86. The other sign, other one I've seen in interludes between up to, you know, a few years ago. That might be it, literally. Who dresses as a gentleman? Who? Knock me out. You know, I mean, wearing karmi clothes. Some, like Ambarish, I'm sure he looks like a gentleman, but I've never seen him in karmi clothes. I've only seen him in devotional clothes. You know, so that's the whole point, is who? So that's the thing, that's the principle. Look like a gentleman. Are you going to look like an Indian gentleman, or are you going to look like a Western gentleman? You know, or how you say, or a Western Oriental gentleman? Right? Whatever it is, then, yeah. So that's the whole point, is that it's devotional service is beyond, and it already includes all the elements of karma and jnana that you want to work. The knowledge that is given in Vedanta is way beyond any knowledge that anyone in any other capacity from any other place and culture of the world has, literally. Without faith in that, of course, we become distracted. But no one in philosophy, in religion, in culture has beyond what we've been given by the acharyas. So if we have been studying what the acharyas have given us for the last 50 years, we would easily be able to explain all this to anyone from any level of society anywhere. But if we spent the last 50 years opposing anything Vedic, then of course we're going to have to kowtow to them, because they know they all know how to do their thing, but we don't know how to do ours. Right. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The sacrificial fire kindled by the sages of Naimisharanya was certainly full of smoke. And the sages were full of doubts because of so many flaws in such activity. Right? Because they know that the karma doesn't necessarily, you know, give consistent good results. The first flaw is that there is an acute scarcity of expert Brahmins able to carry out such performances successfully in this age of Kali, right? So then, you know, it won't work. So even if they're able to do, who will carry it on? Because in Kali Yuga, people don't have the qualifications for doing the kind of sacrifices that they're doing. Any discrepancy in such sacrifices spoils the whole show, and the result is uncertain, like agricultural enterprises, right? You plant, you don't know. If it rains, it'll grow. If it doesn't rain, then the crop will fail. You're dependent upon other things happening. The good result of tilling the paddy field depends on providential rain, and therefore the result is uncertain. Similarly, the performance of any kind of sacrifice in this age of Kali is also uncertain. Unscrupulous, greedy Brahmins of the age of Kali induce the innocent public to take part in such uncertain sacrificial shows without disclosing the scriptural injunction that in the age of Kali, there's no fruitful sacrificial performance, but the sacrifice of the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Right? Srila Goswami was narrating the transcendental activities of the Lord before the congregation of sages, and they were factually perceiving the result of hearing these transcendental activities. One can feel this practically, as one can feel the result of eating food. Spiritual realization acts in that way. So therefore, only things that are giving that spiritual result we're doing. So it's like we see, in the 11th canto when Krishna is explaining to to Uddhava about, so some question comes up about worshiping the deity. So in explaining about the deity and what rituals and that are done, it's only how much it's pleasing to the deity. So then you can see the spiritual effects that are there. So we know this has been recommended. If we're not getting, then we're not, well, our attitude's not right, because it's not dependent upon how expertly we hold the lamp and, you know, the perfect circles or, you know, the speed and all. It's about the devotion in which it's done. So if we're doing all that and not get feeling, you know, we're getting the spiritual experience, then like eating food, it's that we're not thinking about Krishna, or we're not doing it about Krishna. Just like we're sitting in front of the food and fabulous and taking our pictures and uploading it to Instagram and, you know, talking this and that. Everyone's sending us notes. Wow, that looks great. It's not that. I want you so. Wish I was there. Yeah, no. And, you know, going back and forth, but you're not eating the food. So then, you know, it's you're getting some other satisfaction you're not getting from this. And that then with time is going to become less and less, because after a while, either you're always sending the same pictures of the same food, no one cares, or no, or you come up to the level where you can't afford to buy that kind of food that they would be impressed with, you know, like that. Yeah. And so, yeah. And so for the, he's explaining there that in the deity worship, then there is also, if you're doing more elaborate worship, you can do a yajna as part of the thing. And, but it's all done, you know, Purusha Shukta, names of the Lord, and, you know, and the acharyas have given doing that with, the, you know, then worshiping all the Vaishnavas and everything like that. So it's still just a devotional activity. It has a Vedic form, just like worshiping the deity has the Pancharatrik form. And chanting the holy name, you know, and Harinam Sankirtan has the Bhagavat form. So that kind of aspect is, we use the form is there, we use it, but it's all done in the context of devotion. Right? The sages of Naimisharanya were practically sufferers from the smoke of the sacrificial fire and were doubtful about the result. But by hearing from a realized person like Suta Goswami, they were fully satisfied. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Vishnu tells Shiva that in the age of Kali, men full of anxieties of various kinds can vainly labor in fruitive activity and philosophical speculations, but that when they are engaged in devotional service, the result is sure and certain, and there is no loss of energy. In other words, nothing performed for spiritual realization or for material benefit can be successful without devotional service to the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.12. Yeah. Now this is the real 1812. No? 1812. I think he had two. Napoleon was, I think, very enthusiastic about establishing his sovereignty within the area that the Russians called their own. And simultaneously, the Brits were trying to extend their sovereignty into the America, the new colony called America, and that. But I think both of them failed. So this is the thing, is the material will fail, but if you had devotional service, then it will be successful. Like that. The Acharya continues, the sacrifice is uncertain, since there are many faults in performance, just as results are uncertain in farming. Right? So we see here, this is the Sandarbha, this is the example he's given about the smoke and all that. And quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.12, this is in the Sandarbha. Prabhupada, in his purport to 1.18.12, is talking about that smoke and the sacrifice, you know, because that's what's there. And he's using the uncertainty in farming. So we can see is that Prabhupada's purports are just explaining to us so we can appreciate what Jiva Goswami wrote in a very concise way in the Sandarbha. There's no, there's not that there's any, oh, but he's saying one, or Jiva Goswami saying hi. No, Prabhupada's just saying it in words that we can understand, but we don't understand that this is the technical points that the Acharya, previous Acharya has given. This infers that bhakti's results are certain, right? So by saying that the karma and jnana aren't certain, it's inferring that bhakti is, because otherwise, why wouldn't you say bhakti, include that there? You don't mention bhakti, that means bhakti is giving certain. So that's the point. Only bhakti, it's certain. You will advance, you know, like that. So it is developing. You let us, whose hearts and bodies are blackened by smoke, drink the nectar in the form of this, of his famous qualities contained in the Lord's feet. Right? So then, mind and bodies blackened by smoke. Smoke means the body is blackened by smoke, and so they got, their faces are black, and that, but also their mind is, because they're having doubts that this will actually give a good result. So that's why they mention both. Right? Blackened by smoke at this uncertain sacrifice, meaning, or blackened by the smoke at this, means the body is blackened and the heart is blackened. The genitive atmanam expresses the accusative, just as sacrifices are included in karma. So hearing the fame of the Lord is included in bhakti. Like that. What's the accusative? Isn't that the source? But what's the genitive? Means the genitive's the source. So what's the accusative? So that's the object. Means like you have the subject and object, or nominative and then accusative. Okay. So the genitive expresses the accusative. In other words, it's coming from this source. I directed at this for this purpose. Just as sacrifices are included in karma. Right? So you're doing the sacrifice. It means it's coming. It means what you're doing. The karma, you're trying to get a particular result. Right? You know, it's going in a particular direction. So hearing the fame of the Lord is included in bhakti. Right? So the name, form, qualities, past, this is all included in bhakti. So just as the genitive is always expressing the accusative, right? So like that. By this statement, you know, just like, let's say also that we're performing engaging our second, our conditioned nature, the secondary aspects in expressing the primary, which is devotion to Krishna. So you're always going to have this thing where the lower one expresses the higher. It's the perfect, like the pots and pans express the cooking. The cooking is the higher principle. Right? By this statement, one should reach the conclusion that the sacrificer suffered by performance of karmas which are devoid of bhakti. Right? So there's always going to be that element that they're the qualified ones. So therefore, Sutta Goswami comes there and then discusses Bhagavatam with them. Right? And that brings them to this point, because he's discussed that with them. The Mahabharata, because the Mahabharata that we hear is the Mahabharata spoken by Sutta Goswami to the sages at Naimisharanya, as he heard it, you know, from Vaishampayana at the snake sacrifice of Parikshit Maharaj. You know, just like, you know, we're hearing from Sutta Goswami of the Bhagavatam as he heard it, you know, in the narration of Sukadev Goswami, the Parikshit Maharaj, in the same way as how he's heard about the other Puranas and that they're being discussed. So all of the Puranic literature, Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam, is spoken by Sutta Goswami to the sages at Naimisharanya, what he's heard from another authority on the matter. Right? So now they've heard up to that, the Vedic conclusions, heard the Mahabharata, you know, so then everything's nice and, you know, pious and uplifting. But now, having understood the element Achintabheda Veda Tattva, now they're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, so now it switches, and it becomes just about bhakti, and then everything else is included. Otherwise, we're doing all these things and elevating ourselves, but no, it's by engaging in direct devotional activities, the secondary aspects are automatically engaged. Right? Okay. Quote, from Bhagavatam, the great endeavor one undergoes in executing varnashram duties, in performing austerities, and in hearing from the Vedas culminates only in fame and wealth. But by respecting and attentively hearing the recitation of the Lord's qualities, one can remember his lotus feet, right? So the Varnashram and all that, it gives what it gives. So if you're using that in the service of the Lord, then you can remember the lotus feet of the Lord. So the whole point is what's it for? Where are you going with it? So you're doing this for what purpose? You know, it means if you do the yajna because you want a fruit of result, it's actually you're doing it for the fruit of result. The fruit of result's the important thing. So if you're performing the yajna for bhakti, then the purpose of it is attained by your remembrance of the Lord. And as a side thing, you get the particular effect of that yajna. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:12:54. Quote, thus with great joy the wise constantly perform bhakti, which gives joy to the mind. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:22. So they had problem before, as the mind was blackened also by the performance of the sacrifice. But you hear here, when it's done in bhakti, then it's always joyful, right? Vishnu says to Shiva, if they desire to attain me, they cannot attain me by other means, right? It means only through bhakti can you attain Krishna. Other means won't do it. You may be engaged, if it's authorized, you may be, or recommended, you may be using these other means as support for, as mediums to express the bhakti. But if you're not using bhakti, you will not get Krishna. It's not that, oh, we'll become pious, then we'll raise ourselves to the mode of goodness, then we'll start talking about, no, you're not going to get there. The lives of those whose hearts are contaminated by Kali Yuga and who practice Varnashram are useless. Right? So they're contaminated, but if they're absorbed in bhakti, then that's Daiva Varnashram. So that's just the social system to hold things together. You reject Daiva Varnashram, you reject a human social system. And if you're going to say no, but the Western systems, which one's working? The Americans, everybody's together, or they're fighting like cats and dogs. What about the Europeans? What about the Muslims? You know, what about the Africans? What about, you know, you just go on and on. Everyone is fighting with everybody else. So that's Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel. So the only thing can hold them together is devotional service. Therefore, in devotional service, you have a room full of devotees. They're hearing the Bhagavatam class from every background. And if suddenly there was no devotional service, they didn't know why they were there. They were back in their karmi situation. They're in this room with all these other people. All these people would leave or fight, because everybody there on the karmic platform is an enemy. But on the devotional platform, it's all about Krishna, and so they can all cooperate. So that's the whole point, is the Vedic system is just how all mentalities can work together as human beings and focus on devotional service. You reject that, then, you know, does capitalism bring everyone together? It may bring together all the capitalists, but everybody else is suffering and they're against them. And because they're suffering, they don't get together. So if you go through it, no system can bring them together. We see, following the communism, did it bring everyone together? No. Like that. Yeah, in the gulag, okay, you may have developed some lifelong friendships from the gulag, yeah. So, yeah. So that life, and then Krishna concludes, those lives of those who desire to surrender to me are not useless. Just desire to surrender. They may not have fully surrendered or that. They have the intent to surrender. They would like to surrender. So that's Brahma Vaibhakta Purana. So that's going to be perfect. The sages spoke thus to Sutta. Right? Yeah. Okay. So end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.